The following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
Will the year 2000 or 2001 bring us nuclear war? Or will it usher in lasting peace? Will the prophesied battle of Armageddon engulf the world? Will the world come to an end? You really need to know what lies ahead. Is Armageddon really coming? Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Richard Ames asks, will the new millennium bring Armageddon? Now, Richard Ames.
Warm greetings to you all. Armageddon, the final battle between good and evil. Is it coming soon? And who will win? Will we even survive? During the Cold War of the 1950s, the threat of nuclear war covered the United States and the Soviet Union like a cloud. Citizens of both countries built bomb shelters. Even today, Russia and the United States can launch nuclear missiles within 15 minutes' notice. With these nuclear capabilities still very active, are we in danger of another nuclear war? Bible prophecy gives us the answers. Most Bible students are acquainted with that great climactic end-time event known as the Battle of Armageddon. What is it, and how will it affect you and your family? If you have a Bible, turn to the last book, the book of Apocalypse or Revelation. In recent years, writers and commentators have often described the ravages of earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, or even military devastation as apocalyptic, drawing on the imagery and prophesied turmoil outlined here in the book of Revelation. The 16th chapter of Revelation locates the gathering place for the greatest battle in all history, Revelation 16 and verse 14. Here, the kings of the earth and of the whole world are gathered together for what? Read what it says. They are preparing for the battle of that great day of God Almighty. The actual battle is not called the Battle of Armageddon, although that's the common terminology. It's the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Now, where do the armies of all the nations gather? Revelation 16 and verse 16. And they gathered them together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. Just what is Armageddon? The word Armageddon is a transliteration of the original Hebrew Har Megiddo, which means the hill of Megiddo or the mountain of Megiddo. Megiddo is located about 55 miles north of Jerusalem in Israel. In ancient times, it guarded the main trade route between Egypt and Damascus. It also overlooks the largest plain in Israel, the Valley of Jezreel, as it's called in the Bible, or the Plain of Esdraelon. The Old Testament records several major battles that took place there. And in World War I, British General Allenby defeated Turkish military forces there in what became known as the Battle of Megiddo. With all the historic battles that have taken place at Megiddo, the word Armageddon has come to symbolize any large-scale, destructive, or decisive battle. Human beings have invented terrible weapons of mass destruction. Will these bring about our Armageddon? It was in August of 1945 that the United States dropped the first ever atomic bombs on the cities of Hiroshima and Nagasaki in Japan. A new era of mass destruction had begun. At the end of World War II, General Douglas MacArthur, the supreme commander of the Allied powers, accepted the unconditional surrender of Japan on board the USS Missouri battleship. General MacArthur summarized the historic lesson. Military alliances, balances of power, leagues of nations, all in turn failed, leaving the only path to be the way of the crucible of war. The utter destructiveness of war now blocks out this alternative. We have had our last chance. If we will not devise some greater and more equitable system, our Armageddon will be at our door. The problem basically is theological and involves a spiritual recrudescence and improvement of human character that will synchronize with our almost matchless advances in science, art, literature, and all material and cultural developments of the past 2,000 years. It must be of the spirit if we are to save the flesh. Human beings will continue to attempt to find a way to peace. But without acknowledgement of the Creator God and His supreme rulership over the earth, nations will totally fail. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans, the 3rd chapter, and verse 15, "Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." God gave us abundant blessings, and we're abusing them with our violence, wickedness, idolatry, and hypocritical attitudes. We will be judged. And unless we repent nationally and individually, we will be severely punished. Now, is there any danger today of nuclear war? Certainly many of us remember historic conflicts that were very frightening. In 1962, the United States and the Soviet Union played nuclear brinkmanship over the Cuban Missile Crisis. And in 1973, President Nixon placed U.S. military forces on nuclear alert when the Soviet Union threatened to intervene in the Middle East war between Israel and its Arab neighbors. Perhaps international treaties have calmed those fears. Perhaps they've diminished the probability of nuclear war. Since 1968, over 180 nations have signed the Treaty on the Non-Proliferation of Nuclear Weapons. But the following nuclear nations have not signed the treaty: the United States, Great Britain, France, China, Russia, India, Pakistan, and Israel. National news magazines have reported the concerns of Washington that Moscow has not seriously halted the flow of chemical and biological weapons, or the flow of missiles to countries like Iraq or Iran. Observers are concerned over the deteriorating control of nuclear materials and weaponry in the former Soviet Union. Man's inhumanity to man has not ceased. The expulsion of 90% of ethnic Albanians from Kosovo, and the estimated 100,000 Albanian men and more who are missing or massacred, has prompted world leaders to speak of another Holocaust. But Kosovo is not the only tragedy since the end of World War II. According to Newsweek magazine, quote, "The Genocide Convention outlawed acts committed with intent to destroy, in whole or in part, a national, ethnic, racial, or religious group. Post-war atrocities include Cambodia, 1 million dead, 500,000 displaced. Rwanda, 1 million dead, 3.5 million displaced. Bosnia, 300,000 dead, 2 million displaced." Do you see why judgment is coming on the earth? Yet there's good news beyond the bad. And that's why we look forward to tomorrow's world, the kingdom of God on this earth. Bible students are familiar with Jesus' Olivet prophecy in Matthew 24. The greatest newscaster and prophet in all human history stated this in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 24 and verse 14. "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." We'll see more significant elements of the good news later on in the program. Jesus also prophesied of these dangerous times in which we live, continuing in Matthew 24 and verse 21. "For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." Jesus was not here talking of spiritual salvation. He was speaking of the portent of human annihilation, of cosmicide, death to all life on planet Earth. My friends, we need to be spiritually awake. Much of the Western world is indulging in escapism and selfish pleasures. They're ignoring the dangers looming on the horizon. Jesus spoke of the ultimate tribulation. You may be acquainted with the doomsday clock posted by the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists. It reflects the danger of living in the nuclear age. On June 11, 1998, the scientists moved the minute hand of the clock 9 minutes before midnight. This was a full jump of 5 minutes. Two more nations had joined the nuclear club, India and Pakistan. In their view, the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists saw this as, quote, a failure of world diplomacy in the nuclear sphere. The bulletin also continues with this sobering report. Between them, Russia and the United States still have upwards of 30,000 nuclear weapons, strategic and tactical, in various states of readiness. 9 years after the fall of the Berlin Wall, the United States and Russia collectively have some 7,000 warheads ready to be fired with less than 15 minutes' notice. End of quote. What would it be like for your city to be the target of a 1 megaton nuclear bomb? A megaton is equivalent to 1 million tons of TNT. And a 1 megaton bomb would be 5 or 10 times more explosive than the terrifying atomic bombs that exploded on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. How many people would be killed by just one bomb? Dr. Alan F. Phillips describes it this way, quote, the estimates for a city of 1 million or 2 million struck by a single 1 megaton bomb are that around one-third of the inhabitants would be killed instantly or fatally injured, one-third seriously injured, and the rest uninjured or only slightly injured. That number of injured, if they could be distributed throughout the hospitals of North America, would occupy something like a third of the total number of beds. And of course, no hospital can deal adequately with such an influx of urgent cases within a few days. End of quote. Jesus said that unless he intervenes, there would be no flesh saved alive, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. I hope you're praying for God's kingdom to come. I hope you're praying for the return of the King of Kings to this earth. We all need to look forward to that time. You need some help in your study, so at this time I'd like to offer you a free audio cassette of this program entitled Armageddon. There are many prophetic events leading up to the climactic battles of World War III. You need to be informed. With this audio tape, you'll have opportunity for personal Bible study on your own time.
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
In the first part of our program, we saw that Armageddon is the gathering place for the climactic battle of the great day of God Almighty. Massive armies will gather in the Valley of Esdraelon, or the Valley of Megiddo, and they'll bring the ultimate conflagration on planet Earth. We also saw the dangers of the 20th century will carry right on over into the new millennium, and that we're living in very dangerous times. Now, where does Armageddon fit into the panorama of prophecy? Turn in the Bible to Revelation, the 6th chapter. Here the Apostle John sees in vision the famous four horsemen of the apocalypse. They symbolize in order false Christs and false religion, war and its devastating effects, famines which normally follow on the heels of war, and pestilences and diseases which follow after famine. Revelation 6 and verse 8. So I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him, and power was given to them over a fourth of the earth, to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. Even the genocide we've seen since the end of World War II will pale into comparison to the death that will cover the earth. One-fourth of all humans will die on earth. War, hunger, and disease will expand over the planet. In spite of its inspections of Iraq, the United Nations has failed to destroy all the weapons of mass destruction developed under Saddam Hussein. U.S. Defense Secretary William Cohen stated in November of 1998 that Iraq may have produced enough deadly VX, a biological weapon, to destroy everyone on Earth. In a Department of Defense briefing, he said, quote, originally, they indicated they had just a small quantity of VX. One drop on your finger will produce death in a matter of just a few moments. Now the UN believes that Saddam may have produced as much as 200 tons of VX, and this would, of course, be theoretically enough to kill every man, woman, and child on the face of the earth. Yes, we're facing dangers of human annihilation. The fourth seal of Revelation, or the fourth horseman of the apocalypse, will result in the deaths of at least 1.5 billion men, women, and children. The fifth seal, as you read in Revelation 6 and verse 9, reveals a martyrdom of Christians during the tribulation period that lasts about 2.5 years. Revelation 6 and verse 12. Then we read about the sixth seal, which introduces the day of the Lord, the time of God's wrath and judgment on the nations. The sixth seal is referred to as the heavenly signs. Revelation 6 and verse 12. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became blood. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. God then seals his servants to protect them throughout the day of the Lord, this year of judgment on the nations. Next, Christ opens the seventh seal of Revelation, which consists of seven trumpet plagues. The first four include great ecological upheaval and devastation, as you read in chapter 9 of the book of Revelation. The Apostle John describes in first century language the modern warfare he sees in vision. Revelation 9 and verse 7. The shape of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lions' teeth. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew was, or is, Abaddon. But in Greek, his name is Apollyon. John is describing the early phases of World War III. Apollyon and Abaddon mean destroyer. The power behind this military force is that of a great spirit being described elsewhere as the serpent, Satan the devil, the great destroyer. The sixth angel sounds a trumpet introducing a counterattack from a massive eastern army. We've already seen that a fourth of human life was destroyed by the pale horseman, the fourth horseman of the apocalypse. Now we find even more killing on a global scale, Revelation 9 and verse 16. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them, and thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. Now here are descriptions similar to nuclear explosions. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. One third of mankind is destroyed. After the previous loss of about 1.5 billion people, now we see another 2 billion humans killed in World War III. The Apostle John continues with this description in Revelation 9 and verse 19. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents, having heads, and with them they do harm. But the rest of mankind, who were not killed by these plagues, did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. God will then step in to save mankind from total annihilation. Revelation 11 and verse 15. The seventh trumpet sounds a wonderful message of good news to the world. It announces a new world government, a new world order under the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. Revelation 11 and verse 15. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever." That's the good news, the gospel. This sorry world needs this gospel desperately. That's what I live for, and I hope you can come to yearn for a new world to come, tomorrow's world ruled by Jesus Christ and the immortalized saints. My friends, now is the time to turn your life around and be a part of that coming kingdom. I urge you to read your Bible, to get down on your knees before your Creator, the God who loves you. He wants you to avoid the human rebellion that we've read about. Thank God that His kingdom is coming. Yet, amazingly, the nations will still want to fight the conquering king of heaven's armies. Revelation, the 16th chapter, describes the seven last plagues poured out on humanity in order to humble it and bring it to repentance. The sixth angel symbolically pours out the liquid on the Euphrates River for the last phase of World War III. Revelation 16 and verse 12. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up, so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons, performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Satan's demons, fallen angels, they are gathering these armies together, and they were about to annihilate one another and all life on earth. Now these opposing forces join one another to fight against Christ at His coming. They gather at Megiddo, but they move southward to Jerusalem to fight Christ there. Joel, the 3rd chapter, and verse 1. For behold, in those days and at that time, when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them there. The valley of Jehoshaphat is between the Mount of Olives and the city of Jerusalem. It is also known as the Kidron Valley, which extends southward for some distance. Yes, the battle of the great day of God Almighty will take place at Jerusalem. Jehoshaphat means judgment of the eternal. God will judge the nations in this climactic battle. The European superpower called the Beast in the book of Revelation will also be judged at that time and punished. The armies of planet Earth, the personification of evil, will attempt to fight Christ at His coming. Revelation 19 and verse 19. And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth and their armies, gathered together to make war against Him who sat on the horse and against His army. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. Armageddon is coming. God will judge rebellious nations who will even fight against the Prince of Peace at His coming. Today we're living in dangerous times. We hear leaders rattling their sabers. They threaten the use of their nuclear might. The President of Russia, Boris Yeltsin, in April of 1999, argued with NATO over the Yugoslav conflict. Yeltsin stated, quote, "I told NATO, the Americans, the Germans, don't push us toward military action. Otherwise, there will be a European war for sure, and possibly world war." As the Apostle Paul stated in Romans 3:17, "The way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." Truly, as General MacArthur stated at the end of World War II, "We have had our last chance. If we will not devise some greater and more equitable system, our Armageddon will be at our door. The good news is, the world will not be totally destroyed by a nuclear holocaust. But God will judge the nations, including our Western nations, who become hypocritical. We have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof, as the Apostle Paul prophesied in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. We individually need to be spiritually awake, alert, and symbolically spiritually clothed. Jesus said this in Revelation 16 and verse 15. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Now is the time to prepare spiritually. Now is the time to repent and change your life. Seek God in prayer. Read your Bible. And look forward to a world under the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, when all the nations will learn to live by the Bible, the law of God, the government of God, and the love of God. I'd like to offer you a free audio cassette of this program entitled Armageddon. With this audio tape, you'll have opportunity for personal Bible study on your own time, and you'll be able to review the scriptural references and information we've covered on this program.
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
We hope you'll join us every week on Tomorrow's World. Dr. Meredith and I will be covering prophetic trends and discuss biblical prophecies that are just now being fulfilled. We'll be studying God's Word for His will and the way to ultimate happiness, fulfillment, and life. So be sure to join us again next week, right here at this same time.
The informative audio cassette offered on this program is yours absolutely free if you call 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501304, San Diego, California, 92150. Be sure to visit our webpage at www.tomorrowsworld.org. That address again is www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program was produced by the Living Church of God.